Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
Mario heads it back in. Due able to find Mbappe through traffic. Kylian Mbappe! 20 career World Cup goals!
Andy Dirt Johnson. Brandon Sprague.
Tabata, three on the timer. Takes it.
He leaves Cody Williams in the rear view, again meeting defenders at the cup. They don't look like they want any part of him.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Hello. Happy Friday, everybody.
What is happening?
How you doing today?
Look at you, Golf Sprague over there.
Golfing Sprague.
Got your Titleist hat on.
Yep.
Walk into the building. What do I see? Set of golf clubs outside the studio.
You leave them in the parking lot?
Yeah, I mean, you got to be safe. Bring them in. Now. You got to keep them warm, too. You want them in a good climate before you go play.
Well, if I had your truck, it'd be in the back of my truck locked up with the top on it.
When you grab that grip, that first range swing of the day, you don't want a cold grip. You don't want something that's been sitting out in the parking lot all day. You want something that's nice and warm, buttery smooth in your hands.
It's a smart move right there. I'm ready to go. I got a round right after the show today.
Look at you, little Friday golf. We got a big day, too, man. It's the last day of swim lessons.
Oh, yeah?
Big day. Got finished up swim lessons. Oh. Love two-year-old swim lessons, by the way. Last year kind of sucked. This year, wonderful, delightful.
It's a weird, like when you sign your kid up for something.
Yeah.
Like we've signed our kid up, our oldest, for tennis.
Sure.
It's just a rec league Portland thing over in Tabor Park.
Yeah, do something for a couple hours there in the day.
So we did that. We're like, oh, it's exciting. She's in this. She's trying a different sport. She's willing. She wants to.
Right.
And yesterday, I got caught. There was a four-car accident near my house.
Oh, no.
And so what turned into a routine, go get some paint at the store 2 miles from your house, turned into a 45-minute excursion.
Waiting, get around, how do I move?
And then when I got home, I had literally 4 minutes before I had to get back in the car and drive to Portland in the middle of the rush hour.
Yay!
And I was like, why are we going to tennis?
This is ridiculous!
I went from like, hey, this is cool. I think you're going to really enjoy this, too. Can you stop and skip?
The balance of like trying to get your kid something to do in the middle of the summer, too. You don't want them just sitting around the house all day. You got to sign them up for stuff. Yeah. You got to have activities. You got to have camps. The drive to go get them, that is definitely. Thankfully, the pool's in the neighborhood, so we don't have to deal with that. But having to drive a distance at the bad time of day, I'm right there with you. That would suck.
Just awful.
It's absolutely awful.
A four-car accident in a two-lane highway, it just destroys
Nobody moving for a while.
It ain't functional.
We got to go this way. We got to go that way. Now we're down in one lane. People trying to direct. It's a cluster. You know what I mean?
If I learned anything yesterday, or I didn't learn, but if I like observed anything yesterday, it would be like not only did I have to go through that, then when we got near Mount Tabor, like there's roads without stop signs, but cars are kind of like oncoming in a way at certain sections of Southeast Portland.
Okay.
And my wife is like, who's stopping here? I was like, well, there's no stop sign for me or them.
Nobody goes.
Yeah, it's like a weird angle.
Yeah, you go, I go. You go, I go.
And she goes, who designed this? And I go, well, the entire city and metropolitan area was designed in a way that said, nobody's ever going to live here, so let's just make it as limited as possible.
Aren't we all supposed to ride bikes anyways, right? We don't even drive. We just ride bikes everywhere we go. I don't need a car to get around this town. Come on. Up on your two wheels, you'll be all right. None of it makes any sense, man. I do love when you come to traffic stops like that. You're just completely confused. I've been doing this for a long time now, and even I'm confused by this one.
Yeah.
No, who's supposed to go here? I don't want to get in an accident on my way to tennis.
Right. Yeah, I mean, look, we ended up being okay, got through it. And then we had that, like, hour, so I was like, let's just go to Southeast. Went to Southeast.
Yeah, walk around a little bit.
Perused for some dinner.
Might as well wait till traffic dies down until you drive back anyways.
Look, I've never been the most Portland-esque, picturesque person of Portland in my life ever.
Yeah.
There's a weird vibe in this city in many ways, and I think one of them right now is, like, it's almost as if there's a certain percentage of white people that have decided to all look the exact same while thinking they look drastically different.
We're all unique in our own way.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Like, you There's and a character. I might wear a similar shade color the same day.
Sure.
We might both wear a hat.
Hey, we got green hats on today. Well, look at that.
Yeah, right. Like, stuff like that. Okay. I mean, it was for every 12 people, 11 of the 12 people I saw in Southeast, 7 different tattoos spaced out exactly the same.
Yep.
Shorts cut a certain style.
Oh, very, very short.
For the men, it's very short and very tight. For the women, it's a little more high-waisted with ass cheeks almost out.
Yeah.
And then everybody's got the same sunglasses. And then we've all got gauges in our ears. I mean, we all have weird mustaches.
Yeah, you
got to
have a weird mustache.
We've got color in. It was like every 12 people, 11 of the 12, they looked exactly the same.
None of you stand out. You all blend in perfectly to Portlandia, man. That's the way you got to look. In order to move into the city, you got to dress like that now.
Oh. I always knew there were, I mean, I've lived here my whole life. I know there's people that have been like this. It just feels like it's been turned up a notch of like, you know, I saw these people and I'm going to be just like them. I'm going to get the same tattoos in the same locations.
Yes.
And I'm going to dress exactly the same.
Give me some big holes in my earlobes, too.
Huge holes in my earlobes.
Big holes in your earlobes.
Yep.
It's the one I never quite got. The piercing of the ear, I totally understand. You do you, boo, right? You want to put some bling in your ear. I get that. The giant hole in the earlobe was one that I never quite comprehended. Never quite got the allure of that one.
Smaller ones I get. Like small.
Sure. A little more reasonable.
The massive gauge.
The
ones.
Big hole. Like the big dangle down hole. What do you get out of that? Does it get caught on stuff? Like, it just seems like it'd be more of a nuisance than it would a cool style.
I worked with a guy once, and he had not like the biggest ones, but he had a pretty good sized gauge.
Sure.
And he wasn't wearing them. Mm. So his ear looked really kind of like.
He just had a dangle down ear.
Odd. And I was like, how come you don't have a gauge in your ear? It's a pretty big. That looks like it's a pretty big hole. And he goes,
think about hanging anything in there.
Should have never done it. I made a mistake. It seems like a...
Yeah, if you just pierce your ears...
Do they completely heal up? Or
I have no idea.
Be loopy or, you know, droopy and...
If you decide to take them out and it's a big hole, I don't think it goes back. I don't think it can grow back.
I don't think it does either.
Like, if you do a normal piercing and you stop wearing your earrings, eventually the hole will close.
See, I have this... I used to wear earrings when I started working at the Fan. And I have not worn them in God knows how long at this point, but I still
could you put an earring in if you needed to? This hole's still there.
Yeah.
I bet if you went for a long time, you would eventually close up, right?
And I haven't worn earrings in
forever, huh?
Probably a decade. Yeah. I stopped wearing them right after we started doing a show.
Well, if that one's not closing up, then the gauge definitely ain't closing up. Because if it's been that long for a normal earring,
you're right.
Dude, you just walk around with a loopy ear the rest of your life? Like, that's one. Tattoos are one thing. You can, like, I feel like you could cover it up. You can change a design.
Right.
You can add some color. You can even get them removed if you want. Painful and expensive, but you could do that. The gauge, once you go down that road, there's no turning back. You just got giant holes in yours the rest of your life.
See, like, in tattoos, I mean, I have tattoos. So, like, I don't care if you have tattoos.
No.
Do whatever you want to do. It was more the observation of, it felt like everybody's tattoos were exactly in the same spot.
Right.
Two on the front thigh.
Yes, got to have the front thigh tattoo.
Three back leg ones.
Mm.
Four spaced out on the arm.
Yeah.
One
like an arrow, a PNW.
Yeah, like just spaced out by a certain degree of inches.
Right,
and
right.
It just, everybody that walked by our table, because I was wearing exercise clothes because my day was completely shot with traffic. And I'm just sitting there, and they're walking by, and I'm like, I don't look like I live in this neighborhood at all.
You don't fit in, man. You get your ass back out to Damascus. You don't belong out here, okay? Get out of the mean streets of Portland. You ain't cut out for this life anymore.
I'm not cut out for
get
this life anymore.
Get back out to suburbia. We don't want you in here, okay? Out in southeast Portland. You can't roll over here anymore.
You're one of us now, Sprague.
You're one of them. You're one of them. You're out of the city limits, man.
I guess, man. I just was like, I really don't live in the city anymore. There's just like, you got to be cut a certain way to live in here.
The idea of, and we've done this a lot with like tattoos as more and more people get tattoos, of like thinking about older people and how they'll look with said tattoos is always a funny thought to me. The gauge one is great for me to picture like a grandparent. If that thing doesn't close up and you get a giant hole in your ear, And you fast forward 50 years from now, you did it when you're 20, now you're 70, and you got like a little 4-year-old grandkid. You're not going to want gauges in your ears. You just got these long holes. You're watching your grandkids. They're dangling off. Like, I love picturing that in my head of what's that going to look like when you get to a certain age.
Well, I think if you do it, I mean, look, if you don't want it anymore, then certainly by all means have the droopy ear. But like, if you do it. Just keep it in forever.
You have to. At that point, if the hole's not going to close, you got to keep it.
Well, you see most of the gauges that are like through.
Yeah.
Can't you get the blocked off ones where you can't put your finger through the hole?
I think so.
So why don't you just transition to that when you become a grandparent?
Do a big blocked off hole in your ear.
Yeah.
Kids can't grab it. Not dangling here. These ain't monkey bars.
Well, the tattoo older thing, I heard that when I started getting a
How's it going to look when you turn 60?
Right. I'm always concerned it's going to look awful when I'm 70. I'll go, I just want to be alive.
Cool.
What do I care about a tattoo at that point?
What am I going to look like when I'm 70? Yeah. What difference
am I going to be moving? Am I going to be breathing? Am I going to be able-bodied? I don't know.
I'm going to be wrinkly with no hair and my back's going to be kind of bad posture. What do I care that I have a Ninja Turtle tattoo on my arm?
I just want to be able to play golf 3 times a week.
As long as I can swing a golf club, I don't care that there's a tiger on my arm, all right? None of that bothers me.
I want to do an investigation of why my back hurt when I sneezed last week.
Yeah, that.
I don't care about what my tattoo will look like in 45 years.
The full body pain sneeze is a hell of a thing, too. I get those from
violent,
time to time.
Yeah,
you're like,
a violent sneeze.
Oh, you just hurt for like 5 seconds afterwards?
Drink more water. You're not hydrating enough.
Is that what it is?
Is that
whole
what it
body
is?
Cramping
yeah.
up.
I have noticed that the last couple of days I had something where I was itching the back of my neck and the way my arm was bent to get to the spot.
It started to cramp
in my forearm a little bit. I was like, take it away rapidly. I'm like, oh, well.
I got some of those when I'll lay down in the room waiting for Teddy to go to sleep, but I always use it as like a stretching opportunity on the floor. Mm. Like, I love the hard floor feeling on the back.
I do too.
And then you roll a certain way, and then like the lower back will lock up, and then you got to like keep rolling that way. Like, no, stretch it out a little bit more. Locking up down here. I can't even get out of the room.
Well, I woke up this morning. I did not want to wake up. This was the hardest day of waking up for me that I've had in maybe years.
That's tough out there.
I almost fell back asleep 4 different times with no safety alarm.
Uh-oh.
I was like, get up.
You have to do it now.
These are the dog days of summer.
Yes, they
but
are.
But it's just hard with kids because we're out. Like, I didn't get home last night till 8:30, and then my daughter's watching Ted Lasso, so like, how am I not going to watch the end of this episode that I really
it's
like?
It's such a good episode.
It's 10:05, and I'm like, good God, I got to wake up in 5 hours.
I got to go to
crazy.
Sleep. What am I doing right now?
But I finally got up, and when I sat up, I was like, legs are kind of sore. Exercise yesterday. I literally rolled out of bed and went, that was the sound. It was like, it was that loud, too. If my wife woke up, she heard it. It was like, it's like,
what was that over there? Was that a 40, bowel movement?
40's just going to smack me dead in the face in December, dude.
I've loved that the Teddy ball game has started to mock me when I get down on the floor to like play with him, because every time there's a get down or a
it's
get
slow,
up.
It's slow, isn't it?
It's slow, and there is a sound effect involved with it. Coming out. And then he'll start doing it. Like, are you making fun of me right now? Look at you, you little two-year-old with your nimble body. How dare you?
There is many lies that we are told throughout our lives. I don't know if I have discovered a bigger lie outside of like the general intelligence of human beings that are age 25 and older. I used as a kid used to think everybody was super smart and knew what was happening.
Yeah.
Boy, people are dumb.
Yeah.
But outside of that, having like Arnold Schwarzenegger or Vin Diesel jump from a helicopter onto a moving car at least 45 or older and just be A-okay. It's like, not a chance.
Nobody's buying this.
He didn't properly stretch.
Nope.
He doesn't exercise in this movie one time. I don't care how buff he looks.
There's a pulled hamstring involved there somewhere.
All he's drinking...
There's a foot cramp.
...is beer and eating barbecue.
How many bananas have you had? Check out the banana.
He's
eating the banana.
Biker jeans. Like, you're telling me at a full-speed helicopter drop onto a car, just clear-cut, no problems with your back there?
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Liars. They're all liars.
This one from P1 Lawrence saying, hey, your ears and your nose are the only thing that never quit growing. Grandma will need dinner plates by the time with those gauges. And now I love picturing that even more. They don't stop, dude. They just keep getting bigger. I'll tell you, the other thing with older age, as we continue to complain and yell at clouds.
I'm not complaining. I'm just observing.
More of a, just hear where we're at in life. Dude, the growth of ear hair and nose hair needs to slow down.
Mine's pretty crazy.
It's becoming
a
problem.
I have like 4 ear hairs that grow. grow almost longer than my head here.
Every time I'm looking in the mirror and the light is on, I'm like, how are these here again? They're like an inch long.
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with this right now.
The nose hair gets a bit
extreme.
Get
that tickle. I'm like, why isn't my nose itchy today? What is going on here?
My wife bought me a nose hair trimmer a year and a half ago. What a clutch purchase
that
was.
I mean, you know, hey, it's efficient and it gets the job done.
Clears it right out, dude.
That's what I'm going to need, one of those.
I'd always heard the nose and the ears are the things that never stop growing. And for some people, I look at them like, I don't think theirs are growing. I feel like mine have gotten bigger.
Your nose and your ears have gotten
bigger? I always had kind of ears that stuck out. Me and my other older brother have like bigger ears from my dad's side. But like, and I was very self-conscious of my ears, weirdly. It was like a big insecurity for me for a while.
Me too. I have big ears.
I feel like my nose has absolutely gotten more bulbous the last 10 years.
Well, now I'm going to track this.
Well, I just feel like I had
side
a normal-ish
profile
nose. Like, if you look at kid photos, you're like, oh, it's a good-looking regular nose.
Looks like a normal nose. Nothing wrong with that nose.
Now I'm creeping into 40, and it's like, I feel like it's just like getting huge. It's like a zit on my face.
You got to pop that thing, man. get the two thumbs together and pop it off right now.
Never been more true than that nose and ear thing than on my face.
I love the, those like pictures that they put together or videos of like the teacher walking into class wearing the same thing almost every day, like every Monday, Thursday.
Oh, that's
like,
yeah,
and then
I've
you put
that.
The videos together over the entire school year.
How are you doing?
I'm going to start doing that with your nose profile every day. Start of the show, 602, click. And we'll put them all together, 365 of them, and we'll gauge how big did your nose get in the span of 1 year.
If we still do this in 10 years together, we should have 10 years of photos to see where we were at right before 40.
Dude, it was here, and now it's here.
Dude,
like, how did it go from there to there?
Your whole face is a nose.
You got like a 4-inch nose now, man. This is wild. Somebody's saying today is the last 9 p.m. sunset of the year.
We
start to go back in the other direction.
I hate hearing that. I mean, I know. Shout out the note, but I hate thinking about it.
It helps going to bed early, but thinking of the 4 o'clock sunsets gets a little depressing.
I get stuck in a trade-off of like, obviously I love football season, but also I love this weather.
It's dude, our summer so far, phenomenal.
We didn't need to talk about it.
Phenomenal.
That's all we need to say.
I mean, we're
that's all we need to say.
Things are going good. There's no base runners yet.
Ask you a really quick random question I've been meaning to ask you all week.
Fire away.
I've been noodling on this since Tuesday. My one of my best friends, his daughter is having a quinceañera this weekend.
Okay.
I really want to show up in my luchador mask, but is that racist?
Yes.
What if he gave me the green light, but
then
his wife has not?
Totally fine.
But his wife has not.
How close are you with the wife?
Oh, I mean, he's
like your good friend, so you're you know the wife well.
Yeah,
how's the wife?
Yeah.
Then you know how the wife will receive
it. Well, but it's the quinceañera is a big deal.
It's a very big deal. We're not monkeying around here. This is big time.
It's very big time.
Yes.
It you know, he's tried to tamper it down of like, well, it's not a traditional, and I'm like, dude, it's a big deal.
You're gonna say no big deal, and then you're gonna get there, and you're gonna start crying, your little girl's all grown up.
I don't even know what kind of clothes you wear to a quinceañera because I've never been to one. Like,
neither
do
I
wear a really nice button up?
I'd love to go to one.
Other
it sounds
Mexicans
like a great time.
Gonna be there wearing cowboy hats?
Oh, yeah. Could be.
Do I try to match?
You need suburban cowboy. You need a belt buckle.
I'm kind of. Do I need a bolo tie?
I got a belt buckle for you. I got some boots. You need some boots?
I don't know, but I know I have a luchador mask, and there's a part of me that really wants to rock it, but also I don't want to be the white guy that
shows
up.
Are you the only white guy there? How many other whites will be there?
There's not a chance I'm the only white guy.
Okay, so there will be multiple whites there.
But of the whites I know of, or I think are going,
you're the only one that's going to wear a luchador mask.
I'm pretty sure I'm the only one that's even thought about wearing a luchador mask.
It's going to go one of two ways. It's either going to be hilarious; everybody will laugh. You'll be the talk of the quinceañera. Look at this white guy showing up in a luchador mask. This is awesome.
Or
everybody's giving you high fives. Or you'll stick out like a sore thumb. And then
I'm going to offend at least 10 Mexicans.
At least a dozen, probably. And then you're going to have to do the shameful luchador removal and then show your face. And
I should have two outfits. So when I change out of the luchador mask, I come out in a different outfit.
So
and
people
they never
don't
know
remember
me.
That it was you. Go inside and change the luchador mask off so people don't see your face initially.
Right.
Like, are you literally walking into the party with the mask on?
I was thinking.
Or putting it on when you get there?
No, I was thinking about walking in.
I think that's a better idea.
It.
You walk in, gauge the reception. If you're getting booed and somebody throws a tomato at you, you turn around, go back to your car, take it off, and then act like you just showed up. Well, hey, guys, how's it going?
Have you ever been to a quinceañera?
I have not, but I would love to go to one. They seem like a delightful time.
I mean, I think it's
going to like the food is fantastic. Yeah. The music's got to be good.
Yep.
There's dancing. It's a good party.
You're celebrating somebody.
I'd love to go. If anybody wants to invite me to a quinceañera, I'd love to go.
But you wouldn't wear a luchador mask.
I would never wear it. I don't own a luchador mask.
Oh, really?
No.
How do you not own a luchador mask?
Is that a surprising thing?
Yeah.
Do a lot of people own luchador masks out there? Is that a common thing? Swag, you got one in your closet? You got a luchador mask in your closet?
No.
No, it's a no.
You never watched the WWF or the WWE or the WCW and thought, I want to be Rey Mysterio Jr.?
I mean, I definitely had that thought, but it did not lead me to buying a luchador mask. Unfortunately, maybe I need one.
Well, one of my favorite movies is Nacho Libre.
Nacho! It's a great movie.
I don't blame it
for owning one. I think it's a pretty rare thing. I think you roll the dice. Roll the dice.
I don't know, man.
I think they'll go with the flow.
I don't even know what to wear. I got to figure out that part.
I'm going 60-40 lean. You're the talk of the
party. What would you wear to a quinceañera?
It's a good question.
What would your gut instincts tell you to wear?
I would not dress like a cowboy.
Because they're not giving me any details
none,
on this.
None
they're
details.
Just like, you're invited. And
I would go like classy happy hour.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's where my head would go.
Would you kick around the idea of wearing a hat?
I would not cosplay. I would not wear a hat.
Like a cowboy hat.
I don't own a cowboy hat. And if I did own a cowboy hat,
I
would not wear it to the quinceañera.
That you are an urban cowboy.
I know. I'm losing my street cred.
You're a boots only man.
I'm losing my rodeo cred. I only got boots and a buckle. That's all I got.
Well, we'll figure it out. I'll let you know. I'll text you and let you know if I'm going to bring the luchador mask.
I need a picture of it if you do.
Yeah, I'll definitely be taking a photo.
Will your nose still fit in the mask?
Oh, that's just...
Sorry.
It's rude.
Too soon.
That was really rude. It's a cutout for the nose, actually.
That's true. So you never outgrow it. Yeah. It'll always be okay.
That's part of why I bought it.
Yeah.
Loaded show today. Let's start with the news that came out of the association of what does this mean? What are we supposed to gather from this? We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good morning. Happy Friday. I hope when you went to bed last night that you...
Don't sleep on Ja.
Didn't sleep on Ja.
Don't be sleeping on Ja. I'm not sleeping on Ja. I'm awake on Ja.
I'm woke on Ja.
I'm woke on Ja. Is that what they're saying?
That's what we're saying.
That's right.
That's what they're saying in Portland.
Should that be a poll question of the day? Are you woke on Ja?
Could you be any less excited for Blazer Summer League than you are this year?
No. I don't think it's physically possible.
I was driving
around here listening to Danny and Patrick talk about it yesterday. And Patrick giving the, tell me about the roster.
Patrick had all the vibes of, I don't know why I'm doing it as a segment, is how I took that.
Is this a Bridges? Who's this Bridges guy? And I'm like, I've never heard of any of these guys. Oh, yeah. And then we got Young Hunson, who we're hoping is too good for Summer League. The only interesting storyline of Summer League is if Young Hunson sucks. Because if he's good, it means nothing. It's Summer League. If he sucks in Summer League,
yeah,
bit of a problem.
I think it's close to the Zach Collins, Biggie Swanigan year.
Ooh.
But at least Zach Collins had been traded.
We used 3 first-round picks to get Zach Collins.
Yeah, we at least traded some stuff to go get Collins, and it was like, okay, here we go. Is he going to be the legit power forward of the future?
Biggie Swanigan got me excited with Summer League highlights. R.I.P.
Yeah, RIP indeed. But I try to come up with years, and I think this is the most out on Blazer Summer League I've ever been in my life. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I can't envision myself devoting even a minute to watching that team.
When are the games again?
Who cares? I think it's today.
If I happen to be in front of my TV and the guide happens to be up and I happen to see that the Blazers are playing a game, I'll turn it on for a few minutes.
I won't.
None of those are happening. I'm not seeking it out in any way, shape, or form.
If the Young Bomber's going to play 15 minutes, the chances are you turn it on and he's not on.
You're not going to see
him. You're going to watch Young Blood.
Dude, that happened to me again yesterday in the soccer game. God, I hate soccer.
You missed the goals?
I'm watching the whole first half. I have it on.
Nil-nil.
Nil-nil. Great game.
Yeah. Yep.
The second half starts. I walk out of the house for 15 minutes. 15 minutes.
And they got both
half
goals.
Time to the start of the second half, and I come in as 2-0 France. Sit down, watch the rest of the game. You know what happened? Yeah. No more goals were
you
scored.
You missed the Mbappe goal.
I missed all of it. Yeah, the only things to watch. God, your sport's stupid.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I love that you're calling it my sport now.
You know, hey, you're a soccer guy. I'll allow it. You're
Premier League Sprague. That's what they call me in the streets.
That is right.
I want to ask you, the NBA sent out a memo to Shams Charania yesterday saying the Clipper-Raptor trade has been put on hold.
I said, not so fast, my friend.
He cannot be traded until the NBA investigation finishes the Clippers circumventing the salary cap story that came out from Pablo Torre a few months back. The trade was, again, it was Kawhi to the Raptors for Ingram, Grady Dick, unprotected first-round draft picks in 21 and 33, and a 27 first-round pick swap and 2 second-round picks. Clippers, in a statement to ESPN on Thursday, said the trade, quote, can only be finalized if the Raptors ownership group assumes the risk of penalties related to Kawhi's contract that could theoretically result from the ongoing investigation.
Not today.
Meanwhile, the Raptors issued their own statement saying they would wait for the league findings rather than assuming the risk, but they, quote, remain eager to bring Kawhi back to Toronto and look forward to swift resolution for our players, our organization, and our fans.
Very interesting questions come out of this. First, what is the NBA doing? Why did it take so long to announce this? When did that trade go down? A week and a half ago? About a week and a half ago.
Yep.
We've already got to the point where he's like in Toronto, like sides have moved on. You're mentally preparing for what your roster is going to look like next year. And now you drop this bomb. Like this should have been something you communicated with the Clippers prior to any trade even being negotiated, and also made aware to any team, hey, if you're going to be interested in Kawhi, just know that this is still hanging out there. We have to finish our investigation. To wait a week and a half afterwards, now the teams are like, okay, is he on our team? Is he not on our team? If you're Toronto, because the contract I don't think is going to get voided. I just don't see Adam Silver having big enough balls to do that. But there, I think there will be some punishment for Kawhi. And the interesting part of this becomes, what is the threshold for you that gets you to say no deal if you're Toronto?
He's suspended for an entire season.
For an entire season? Because that would definitely do it for me. What about half the year? Not big enough?
I'd still do it.
Still do it? Wait till game 42. We'll get you in game 42 the rest of the way.
That team last year overachieved. They were one of the stories of the league in the regular season.
Yeah.
And I know Grady Dick and Ingram are out, but like...
Right.
I think Barnes, Barrett, and company...
hang around 500 for half the year.
All I need them to do is be in that 10 through 6-7 range.
Right.
And then get Kawhi back, and then surge to wherever you need to go, and then Kawhi seemingly will be healthy,
yes,
hope.
Right.
And then you go in the playoffs for year one, and you see where it's at, and then you try to build out from there.
That's the only interesting part. Like, if that actually comes down where there's a year suspension for him, it's a bombshell, and Toronto has to back out of the deal.
Well, doesn't it... I mean, does this... this announcement makes you think it's one of those two, right? It's a half season suspension or it's a full season suspension.
Yeah, I don't know if it's half or full, but you have to punish him in some way. Now they could choose the big massive fine route, so Toronto wasn't screwed out of not getting the asset they just acquired.
Okay, so you're bringing up something interesting because I've heard this before, mm-hmm. like, not a lot, but they're gonna punish him, and I agree that they should. He, by the way, went under the radar. He's changed his agent, and he fired Uncle Dennis.
Oh, what happened there? Why did we do that?
Well, it's time for change.
Yeah.
Andy, it's a fresh new
start.
It's
got
a new
it.
Me, you
okay.
know? It has something to do with the aspiration deal. And totally fine with him being punished.
Yeah.
I personally don't think he should be punished for a whole season. I limit it beyond the half season, beyond the half season. The Clippers are the ones that should be getting hammered in this.
Agreed.
I mean, utterly hammered.
Yes.
It all the evidence that Pablo Torre provided, which I'm still confused. What is the NBA finding out that we didn't find out?
Didn't that Pablo Torre thing come out before last basketball season started?
It so came we're out almost like 9 months ago.
We're almost at a calendar year.
So
what are you doing?
I that's what I'm wondering is, why is this taking as long as it's taking? One of the guys with the aspiration, he's already been sentenced to prison for like 15 years or whatever it was. I don't know what's taking them so long, but you can punish Kawhi, fine. The team is the one that should be getting absolutely obliterated. I don't know what that looks like. I don't, the financial fine, and you can say, well, it doesn't matter to Ballmer, and you're not wrong, but...
that's part of the reason I think they obviously traded him, was that they were worried maybe a contract gets nullified or something along those lines and you lose him for nothing.
Well, but and owners don't, even if they're super uber rich, like they're not happy to pay if Ballmer gets fined $4 million, he's not happy about that. No. I don't, you know, who cares how rich he is? He's not happy about it. And then, like, for me, what I would do is I would take away draft capital.
Yes.
Because that's the thing that hurts them the most right now and where they're at.
Right.
They didn't get Jaylen Brown. They didn't get Giannis. They've traded away Kawhi.
They're starting to pivot. They're going young.
They're pivoting. They're going young. They're going role guys. Like, Ingram might be the guy that's probably going to lead them in scoring next year. Or Garland, just depending, I guess, on who's out there. But you need to hammer them with draft capital and a big financial fine. Like, that's the punishment needs to be way more squarely on the Clippers, I think, than Kawhi Leonard.
Totally agree. There needs to be something direct to them. And this is where it's a massive test of Adam Silver, because to your point, I agree with the take that Ballmer doesn't want to, nobody wants to pay a $4 million fine. But if you're talking about things that will actually hurt the Clippers, a fine will not hurt them in any way, shape, or form. They have the richest owner in the NBA. And so while he's not going to be happy about paying it, since there is actual evidence that they had contracts and an agreement to try and give him more money to circumvent the salary cap to make him happy in L.A., like, that should be one of the biggest no-nos in the NBA, is money under the table to help your player and your team fit all of the salaries in. Like, you have to do something more than just finding Steve Ballmer, because that's not going to hit him where it actually matters. He has money. He'll be able to pay the fine. There has to be some form of on-the-court punishment, whether it's draft picks, you know, take away certain, I don't know exactly what it looks like. Draft picks is the most reasonable one to do. A fine of Steve Ballmer is not going to impact the Clippers in any way, shape, or form. And their rebuild's good. It won't, I think, send the message to the rest of the NBA that this is a no-no. I feel bad for Toronto and all this, to be honest. Like, they're the ones who were just trying to make a trade. They thought they were bringing Kawhi Leonard back. It's a massive deal for them. Their fan base is psyched. He's the guy that won a title there. I'm sure their season tickets have been through the roof. And then a week and a half later, you say, oh, by the way, he might not be here. It's ridiculous.
Well, I think that goes back to, you said this is a big test for Adam Silver. I'd argue he's already failing the test.
I would agree with you, because he hasn't done anything in a year.
He came out before the finals started. He said the statement, like, I wish this investigation would wrap up. It's like, dude, you're the commissioner.
Yeah,
like,
you can say
that he's not in full power. That's fine.
They hired an independent team to look at it.
He's the face and voice of the league operation.
Go bang on the door and say, what's taking you so long?
And then, like, in this trade, I don't really feel bad for anybody involved, even including Toronto, but, like, how at a bare minimum, as the commissioner in the league, do you not alert the whole league behind the scenes?
Yeah, just be aware.
Hey, guys, if Kawhi is traded, be aware that stuff will be paused until the why did this just get announced today?
Even in the aftermath of the trade. Like, the trade goes down, you should release a statement immediately of, we've been notified of a trade of the Clippers and Raptors. This will not be fully finalized until this investigation is done.
How does it take a week and a half for you to figure out that you want to pause something?
I don't get it, man.
I think he's already made so many dumb decisions.
Yeah.
And I just think him in this regard, it's like, it's insanely stupid.
Yes.
How he's handled the whole thing, how the league has handled the whole thing, where it goes from here, I don't know. I think Kawhi's still going to be a Raptor. I think he gets levied a pretty big penalty.
There'll be something towards him, whether
it's
a fine or a suspension.
He's going to get a big financial fine, and he'll, you know, if he got $30 million under the table from aspiration.
What's the difference between...
Fine him $8 million. Yeah. Like, do something.
Him the amount he made, whatever he made from aspiration. Take it all back.
He would legally challenge that. But, like, they need to do stuff to organization and player that really sets the tone of, don't you dare ever try to do this again. Anybody.
Right. We had a PED suspension. What was Paul George? 25 games last year? Is that what they do for PEDs
25,
now? 25 games? So what's worse, taking money under the table or taking PEDs?
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, and that's people will have a differing take on that, but at least the bare minimum should be a 25 game suspension.
Well, it wasn't PEDs. It was the non-drug.
Touche. Yeah.
It was probably like mushrooms.
Yes. I didn't know it was on the bad list, man.
Yeah, I don't know. So we'll see what happens, but the NBA announced yesterday through Shams Charania and multiple statements through organizations, the Kawhi Leonard trade has been put on hold. Hey, the alternate reality where this could have happened, and do we feel like it's destined to happen? Next on The Fan.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
We got some Blazers odds and ends to get into coming up at the top of the hour. Fun little Friday program. Good morning. Happy Friday. Dirt and Sprague with you on 105.1 The Fan. So I was perusing through some college football stuff yesterday.
Yeah.
I text you a question. Took you 9 hours to respond.
Yeah,
you
about
responded.
Two and a half.
I text my wife. I was like, dude, he's the worst person of all time. I hate this guy. And then you literally text back 20 minutes later. I'm like, of course, that's the timing of all this.
I'm right there, baby.
And so we'll get into some of that stuff that we talked about on text. But I was perusing through college football notes, and something that caught my eye out of USA Today from the Big 12 media dealings that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, according to the report, Michigan did not get their man. Kyle Whittingham.
Not
option number two.
Top of the list.
I think we all knew that, didn't we?
Number two. Yeah. Option number one, Kenny Dillingham.
Also, maybe Kalen DeBoer.
There's a report that it was actually Dillingham for them. He's younger. They really like what he's done so far at ASU. And so, officials at Michigan, according to USA Today report, called Kenny Dillingham last year when he was at a dinner and offered him the framework of the coaching job. And Dillingham was asked about this, and he laughed because he says, that's good intel. I know exactly who was at the dinner at that restaurant with me when you're talking about. So now Kenny Dillingham has to go through and be like, who is the rat in here?
Who's the league?
But it was he said some interesting stuff. So he said, quote, great opportunity. Michigan found the perfect guy for them. They really did, because Kyle Whittingham is somebody that I've looked up to. He said he actually talked with Kyle Whittingham about the Michigan job before choosing to stay at ASU.
Whittingham had been a very loyal guy for a long time at Utah.
Very loyal. He said, I actually called him early in the process to talk to him about his choices and his family and things that he never sacrificed.
Right.
Ultimately deciding, because of his family, to stay at ASU. Now, they hired Kyle Whittingham. We'll see what Whittingham's going to be. It is funny how we... I think because Michigan won the title and then got hit with the stuff and the Sharon Moore stuff happened, to Bill Riley's point last year, they just were quietly 10-2 last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like it flies under the radar. So what is he going to do at Michigan year one? I don't know, but I'm curious to see it. He said this, Kenny Dillingham, navigating the family, like my family's crazy. My family's like, if this is what you want to do, we'll all move. That's how my family operates. We're very close. It's like we're doing it together. We're doing things together. We're doing things as a group. Now, whether that would happen or not, I don't know. It was an awesome, awesome experience, but I'm happy with Arizona State's growth. And as long as they just continue to grow with this thing, hopefully we can build it, end quote.
You got leverage there, man. You might as well use it. I stayed. Let's keep the investment rolling in. We know what it takes to win in college football.
He has done the louder version of Jonathan Smith. It's my alma mater. I love it. I want to be here. I've turned down bigger jobs to stay here.
Michigan's a big-time job. Big time.
That last quote, I'll be very curious to see if he's there in 3 years, because I don't – I have a hard time thinking – unless their NIL explodes out of the moon, I have a hard time thinking somebody like Kenny Dillingham is going to stay at the alma mater that we know he loves.
Really? You don't think he's going to do it unless the – I mean, no. Here's the thing that I would say.
That last quote is what got me really I'm happy with Arizona State's growth as long as they just continue to grow.
I was psyched that he made, and we talked about it at the time, I was psyched that he made the decision he did because he's young. He's at ASU. He's winning. I don't see this thing cratering. Like, I don't see 3-9 and 2-10 seasons at ASU coming for Dillingham and him getting fired. I think he's going to keep it humming. Now, whether they get back to the playoff, whether they win a conference title, I don't see them as necessarily a national title contender. But the reality is, in this sport, like, I don't see his value dropping. And so you're going to have time down the road to take one of these jobs if ultimately that is the move that you want to make. And I imagine, as he's saying publicly, he said the same thing to them privately. When Michigan called and offered him a job, said, do you want to be our head coach? Here's a framework of a deal. He takes that back to ASU and says, look, we're going to need to get some stuff done here if you want me to stick around long term and be your head coach. And so I imagine that these conversations are already happening behind closed doors. I just think it's a great trend right now of coaches, and he is one of them, who are remaining loyal. Like, Michigan is a much better job than Arizona State. They have more money. They have more resources. They're in a better conference. All of that stuff is true. But it's also what makes you happy. Like, this idea that you have to take it because they're offering you $2 million more dollars a year. We always say, well, you would take $2 million more dollars a year, as if, in, yeah, $2 million would change my life per year. Kenny Dillingham's already very, very heavily compensated at Arizona State. He's living a good life. Mm-hmm. He's around his entire family. His sister is his next-door neighbor. Like, what's more important to you, winning 9 to 10 games every year in your hometown at your university you grew up loving, or having a chance to win a national title at fill-in-the-blank place? And right now, he's telling you, I think being at home is what matters. That might change for him 5 years from now, but I love the decision that he made, and I think that conversation started the second he turned down the job of, if you want me to stay around, you better up the investment level to X, Y, and Z, and if you do, I'll be here forever.
See, the element, because I'm with you on, like, I was happy he chose to stay. I hope he does stay. I just, that quote to me, what caught my eye on that is just, I hope they continue to grow, because Kenny Dillingham is somebody that obviously wants to win, right? He's not just, oh, you know, I want to be a 9-win coach every year. I think that dude literally is built to,
yeah,
I want to be at the top of the sport, right?
I think there's a pathway to be very competitive in the Big 12. Outside of Texas Tech and the money they're spending, there's nothing that I look at in the Big 12 and I say, ooh, I don't know if ASU can catch them.
Certainly. I totally agree with that. I just think the problem is they're never going to compete, in my opinion, for a national championship.
Probably not.
And I hope I'm wrong on that. He's certainly a pretty good coach so far, and we'll have to wait and see on it. Him saying that his family is psychotic to the point of, where do you want to go? And he randomly just says Ole Miss 1 year.
Right.
And they all go, okay. And they sell their four houses in Tempe and they all just move. I think that's the aspect, is like, we've kind of run with the conclusion of, like, because we knew his sister was his neighbor and
yeah,
the family stuff. I think we've run with the idea of, like, they're settled in Arizona, when he's telling us, nah, it's really about where I want to settle. Because he's the golden goose, probably, of the family.
Without a doubt, he is.
He's making $10 million a year.
He's 36 years old, making $10 million a year to coach football.
I'll be honest with you. I would probably operate the same way with my my close-knit circle of, like,
right,
hey, if you guys want to go, I'm happy to kind of just provide the whole thing. I don't need – I used to be super dirt-ass poor. $1 million is cool with me. We can spread out the wealth a little bit, especially if you go to an SEC school that pays out of their butts.
Right.
So I just – he is somebody that's interesting of, what are they going to be this year? Nobody's talking about him. And he came close to thinking about leaving ASU for Michigan. What's the next gig in a year? What's the gig after that?
Oh, and people will offer him every year if he keeps winning.
And what does ASU do? Because Cody Campbell's not going anywhere. Texas Tech is going nowhere with Joey McGuire. If they don't go through the Big 12 and get through BYU, Utah, Texas Tech, whoever, Kenny Dillingham's cool just being the 7-8-win program who's well supported, but just can't break through some of those other programs. I don't know if I agree with that anymore.
The interesting part is, and this is where the call to Kyle Whittingham I thought stood out, that I always kind of viewed Utah as that. I never viewed Utah as a national title contender. They were a great program. Mm-hmm. They were good enough to win their conference any given year. They did a couple of times. They were good enough to compete regularly to win their conference. But ultimately, when they'd get to the Rose Bowl and play in Ohio State, like, we all know how that game was going to go, when Ohio State would run them out of the building.
Right.
Like, there was a limit on what you could accomplish, but there's also, now that's a different scenario because they eventually forced Kyle Whittingham out, and now he's at Michigan, ironically. But he was a guy who stayed loyal. We did this with Whittingham forever. Every offseason, USC would open up. You know, Kyle Whittingham would be a good hire. Every offseason, he was one of these guys, until it got to the point where he had shown you he was loyal. And then teams just kind of stopped calling and they stopped asking him. So I don't know what the future holds. The main thing that I will continue to argue, I see your point on the family. I also think it's a lot easier said than done. Like, it's easy to say, like, oh, yeah, we're all with you. And then you move to Oxford, Mississippi, and it's like, all right, all of your kids, all of your parents, all of your siblings, selling houses, buying houses.
I think they do it,
man. And they might do it. I'm just saying, I think that's very easy to say off the cuff of, like, we're following you wherever you want to go.
He says they're crazy.
And so now you got your seventh grade, you know, niece crying, bawling, because right, she's got to move away from all of her friends. It becomes a much more difficult thing in real life than it does just saying it out loud. The main point that I will always bring up with him, though, is that you're 36 years old. You have a long runway in front of you as a head coach. Making a jump now, I'm not saying he wouldn't have been successful at Michigan State. I think he's a hell of a coach. But the idea that you just go to the next place and it's going to be great and it's smooth weather, smooth sails, no big deal. How'd that work out for Jonathan Smith? Now, Michigan's a bigger job than Michigan State. I get it. But when he took the job at Michigan State, what was the thought from most? Well, he won at Oregon State. He's going to win at Michigan State. Of course he will.
Yeah.
That's the way it's going to work. And he got fired in 2 years, and now he's not working anywhere this year. And so it's just like, you got a good thing going. Run it out a couple more years. You get 3 years down the road, you're limited at 9 wins every year because your budget isn't there. Like, by all means, I'm not going to blame you eventually.
And he'll only be 39, by the way.
Exactly. You're still younger than almost every FBS head coach that exists. And so I hate the ones who jump first chance they get. 2 years go by, you go 5-7, 7-5. Then you get fired, and then it's like, all right, let's go start back over again. You might as well run the road out here a little bit and see how far you can take it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I just, if you tell me in 2 years ASU has not won the conference or gotten back to a playoff, and they're an 8-win team on average.
They won 8 games last year. They were 11-3 2 years ago, 8-5 last year.
Yeah, and they were one of the stories of college football year. And last year they took a slight step back. We'll see what they are this year. I don't know what to make of the Big 12 outside of one school.
Right.
He seems like somebody. Whittingham is a good example to bring up, but eventually you and I did the same thing of like, we didn't even talk about Kyle Whittingham
because he showed that he wasn't going to do it.
He's also,
for now, we've reached that point with Lanning, I think, to a certain level. Like, it's like he's not leaving until his kids graduate.
Yeah,
then stuff's up in the air,
it.
But we don't do that segment every offseason anymore.
But also, Whittingham had the religion thing,
he did,
and being a BYU, State of Utah guy, it just was a little different. Not that it's not with Dillingham in ASU, who you know, went there, grew up there, whatever.
Hometown.
He's wired a little differently is all I'm saying. And that quote of, as long as they continue to grow, easy to point out in 2 years if they're only winning 8 games. Yeah, you know, it's hard for us to grow the way it is other schools.
Yeah.
And see you later. Yeah. Thank you for everything. I love you and I always will. Like, and people will hate him at ASU for it, but it wouldn't shock me is all I'm saying.
I think he's being very smart about using his leverage. He's got a lot of leverage there. And like every chance I'd get behind a microphone, I would say the same exact thing he's saying.
Yep.
I love it here as long as keep cutting them checks, baby.
I completely agree with you on that one. All right, we have a lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program. Dirt and Sprague back with more. Hour two. The Blazer Extravaganza on the Fan.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.